Good morning. Today is the Tuesday, April the 23rd. Joining us this morning is College of the Redwoods head basketball, basketball coach, Ryan Biggio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for helping out with the kids, too.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. And Paul's been letting everybody know, so it's not that big of a surprise to anybody, but it's just kind of cool. All right, are you ready for your question here?
I am.
And just to throw a little bit of gas on the fire, yesterday we had Pastor Dwayne in, first time, nailed it. He's one for one. Nobody's ever done that before.
No pressure.
None at all. Because you already are below that level.
Yes, I am.
All right, why do we say that something is worthless is for the birds?
Oh no. My streak is going to continue.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Wordle before, so what the heck?
Why is something worthless for the birds?
Yeah, why do we say it's for the birds?
I can't even begin, yeah.
In the days before automobiles, the streets were filled with horse-drawn carriages, and these animals quite naturally left behind deposits of their digestive systems. These emissions contained half-digested oats that attracted swarms of birds, which took nourishment from the deposits. The people of the time coined the expression for the birds. Okay, now here's your takeaway. As meaning anything of the same value as these horse droppings.
Wow. Wow.
So I think this vernacular or this phrase may start popping up in programs.
Yeah.
In practices.
Yes, yeah. Such as a shot selection.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. That was for the birds.
Love it.
You know, it would be really funny would be if one of these goofy things took root and started to grow and started to become used in the community. What?
I'll tell you, I love that book. I love starting that way. That's really cool.
Oh boy. So what was your takeaway with this year's basketball season locally at the high school level? I mean, it just.
Yeah,
you know, schools will go through cycles, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a couple of families, and their kids are athletic, and all of a sudden, that school does very well for a period of time, and then they graduate, and things adjust. But to have the entire level raised to the recognition that it was, it's kind of like people are paying attention to us again.
Yeah, historically, I mean, at least I've been back in the area for 10 years, and at least speaking to those 10 years, I don't remember a time when there was the type of competition for the Big Five title as there was this year. You look at the standings each week, and it was really exciting because everybody felt like they had a shot. Maybe some of the favorites, you know, weren't quite there, but then were working their way up the standings as the league went on. I saw some really fun basketball games. It looked like the community really enjoyed the league this year, and I thought it was just a great look. I think everybody wants to feel like they're a part of it, and talking to each coach this year, I know that they all felt like they were, and that's what it's all about.
And it's kind of unfortunate that it's rare, but on the other hand, it's kind of cool that we experienced it.
Yeah.
You know, the both elements of that.
Yeah, and there was really high drama, even all the way to the Nicolai final at Humboldt State. I mean, our team was crowded in my hotel room in Chico watching that game, and you know, we're jumping on the beds.
And, yelling, I mean, and screaming. And, yeah.
Oh, it was so fun watching that game. I thought that the game was played at a really high level. And I thought it was such a great culmination of what a cool year it was.
It kind of encapsulated everything.
Totally. Yeah. It's a close game, high drama, great attendance, incredible enthusiasm. I just thought it was a great showing by the league, by all the coaches in the league and the administrators as well.
Kind of like Indiana basketball.
Oh.
Or at least the...
Our version of it.
Yeah. And this nostalgic representation that we have with it.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool stuff. So how do you build off of that? Or do you?
Yeah. So I think the way we build off it is how we try to build every year. Right now, as I'm assistant athletic director at College of the Redwoods, and we're involved in this huge program review project right now, and we had to write this like recruiting manifesto and kind of remind ourselves what our ethos is in recruiting. And
was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. I know my boss, you know, Bob Brown. We both bit off a big chunk of it, but in doing that work, we're kind of reminded that our recruiting ethos is very simple. Number one, start local. That's the number one thing, and I've been committed to that in my time at Redwoods over the last 5 years. And I think when you look at the local landscape, there's a lot to be excited about.
I wonder how many even remember that that's what had to be the case back. You know, initially, you know, you had if you went outside your, I don't want to say sphere of influence because that's not the right term, outside your district.
Sure.
That you had zero athletic, you couldn't play for anybody.
Right.
At the JC level.
Right.
Okay, if it was a 4-year, obviously that's a little bit different. But you had to stay within if you wanted your eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that kind of blew up, and now you got, you know, full-on recruitment at the JC level as you do at the 4-year, which has done some cool stuff. Yeah, I'm bringing some of the Hawaiian kids into the area. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, it's just a different dynamic, and the local doesn't necessarily get the opportunity. But with you guys having that as a primary focus,
right?
That kind of is going back to old. I don't like that phrase. Going back to the roots.
Yeah, and I think you make a great distinction of how community college basketball used to be in terms of staying local and then working regional. We also don't want our local seniors to be solely dependent upon our competitive relevance at College of the Redwoods. So there's times you have to outsource. But I think this year we're really excited about the local players.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Biggio from College of the Redwoods. Assistant Athletic Director, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh. You got it like a desk now.
Yeah, they wheeled in a chair and everything. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Watch out when they give you a computer. You're going to be in trouble, man. Oh. How has athletics changed in the last, I don't know, well, you said you've been there 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see changes even in that time period?
Yeah, I think COVID accelerated a lot of changes that some would argue were inevitable. I think the fluidity of student athletes transferring not only at the community college level, but certainly at the 4-year university level is something that can really make your head spin. And I think, you know, we're in an era of more, I mean, they're calling it the player empowerment era. You even hear that in the NBA. But, you know, kids just trying to find the place that's right for them. I mean, there's...
Well, that's not different, though. Is it just that there's more mobility now?
Yeah, like you don't have to sit out a year. I think that might have kind of halted some of the transfers, you know, back in the day because nobody wants to sit out a year when you're a young kid. Now you can just, you know, move very fluidly wherever you want, play right away. So I think that changes calculations.
Hey, you still have the redshirt year, right?
Correct, yeah.
In your equation.
Yeah, and the redshirt is something that's been a real staple in our program, and I would argue has been the reason why we've been able to create the type of cohesion that is unusual at the community college level. If you get a kid for 3 years, you know, the institutional knowledge that they accrue and then spread to other newcomers in the program is something that I feel is unique at our level.
Well, and they get to know the community too.
Absolutely.
And I think, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I think a lot of the kids get enamored by things that aren't the real things. You know, so yeah, okay, I'll go to XYZ school, and they've never been in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if they fit or if it feels right or if they're in the middle of something that they really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're bouncing around and you just, you know, I don't. Have you seen a change in the on-campus visits? Are they still wanting to do that? Or are you, are you encouraging for the kids to come up and, you know, touch and feel and see what we're about?
Yeah.
Because if the fit isn't right, we'll find you a place that is.
Yeah, they are still relevant. In fact, this upcoming weekend, I have two kids coming from Fairfield to visit us. One of them has...
Have they ever been more than 2 hours north?
Not that I'm aware of.
I know. No. It's so bizarre, isn't it? Yeah, we're used to traveling anywhere to do anything.
Oh.
And these kids... You know, more than a 15-minute drive, and it's in foreign territory.
Yeah, one of the kids he committed to us last night, even before coming up here. He's just coming up here to kind of celebrate his commitment. But I don't know if he's been north of Santa Rosa.
Would you offer him pizza or something?
I offered him some very passionate instruction.
Really? You're gonna let the emotional out, huh? If anybody's seen Ryan, there's a little emotion as part of the coaching.
Yeah, of course, I blame my Italian ancestry for that.
Just because they can't defend themselves.
Yeah, no, but yeah, there's still kids that want to come up here and visit. I think that's remained the same. But to your point, like, you know, committing and not seeing the campus, a lot of what's happening in the college basketball landscape has become much more transactional as opposed to seeking a transformational experience, which involves community, as you said.
Yeah, the emotional connection to...
Correct.
It'll be really intriguing to see, let's go out 10 years,
mm-hmm.
alumni donations.
Mm.
If they go up, if they go down, if they stay static, independent of the national economy. But is there a connection to the school, or... am I seen as my own resource, and I just happen to share my resource with you for a year,
right?
And with them for a year, and somebody else for a couple of years?
And I think in tying it back to like an administrative perspective at College of the Redwoods, I've found that our sports auction over the last few years has continued to raise more and more money, and I think it's because our community is just excited about our department being a real genuine reflection of our community. It'd be a difference if...
The community of community college.
Totally. Like if we were outsourcing all of our talent, then we become a more sterile corporation that just doesn't have the fingerprints on the community. But I think our commitment to showcasing our community and primarily... you know, giving them opportunities is something that members of our community appreciate. And I feel like we've seen that in the relevance and excitement with the sports auction that we've had every year. It just keeps getting better and better. There's a lot of great contributors to that. Marty Coelho, of course, Bob Brown, all of our staff. But I think it's we're benefiting from our approach.
Yeah, the localism is cool. The connection to the community, too.
Yeah.
You know, not all programs have it, not all campuses have it, but certainly there's such an opportunity with sports.
And I think, and I'm from the community, so I think it's a little bit different. I'm very proud to be from this community.
Yeah, you can Chamber of Commerce. Not, you know, a lot of coaches can't or won't. You know, they're doing their career moves.
Yeah.
You know, I find it really intriguing what the kids' response is. Calipari, for folks who aren't familiar, coach of Kentucky basketball, was there for a period of time. He's got his team. They didn't do so rip-roaring this past year. He leaves and goes to another school. Okay, so what does that say to the kids that have committed to go to that school? You know, okay, coach is leaving. Now, do I rethink what my priorities are? But everybody was saying, you know, if you're Kentucky, you're Kentucky. Well, I guess not. If the leader leaves, I guess not. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Biggio from College of the Redwoods. What's the next coolest thing going on out in the athletic department at CR?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how cool this is, but right now we're up for our department's program review. It's on May 6th.
Is that like accreditation for sports?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So the athletic directors and our league commissioner, everybody comes into town. It rotates on a 6-year cycle. I believe we haven't done it in 8 years due to COVID. So
I thought it was public school math.
Yeah.
And I are one, so I'm not bagging on
it. Are we on camera? I had to get the calculator out for that that one. But so everybody's coming into town. And we kind of just showcase, it's kind of a State of the Union address almost. Like this is the state of our department. These are the adjustments we've made since the last time we were reviewed. These are the teams that have performed.
Remember the football stadium?
Yeah.
And, that's part of it.
That is part of it. And I'm glad you said that because this week we are breaking ground on the new community stadium. We are going to have a state-of-the-art track, a brand new football field after that. We are getting a brand new...
You mean no swamp, no sprinklers, no soggy?
I hate to disappoint you. No.
Oh, man, that was called home field advantage.
Yeah, it really was. The mosquitoes kind of popping up out there.
Well, you guys were propagating them for a while.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke about the Eureka Municipal Golf Course, but they could give us some real cues on how to create a mosquito advantage there. But we have a new gym on the horizon. We have a new field house on the horizon. Thanks to the leadership of our president, Dr. Flamer, these investments that are being made into athletics, I think are gonna sustain for an entire generation to come. State-of-the-art facilities, and I'm excited to be a part of not only just like the closing of some historical venues on campus, but also breaking ground and just kind of looking towards the future of Redwoods athletics. It's a really exciting time.
So is the field house and the gym as we know it today, are those going to be demolished?
They are.
Renovated or?
They're going to be demolished, which, tugs at my heartstrings the same way as, Jay Willard Gymnasium at Eureka High, right? These are historical monuments. I say to all the recruits who come, they look at our gym and they're like, whoa, you got that huge mural on the wall that was painted in the '60s or whatever. And they have these massive no smoking signs in the gym made out of redwood. And I want to take one of those home or something like that when they demolish it or something, because it's like...
Well, take it to the next facility. You're not going to allow smoking in the new one.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. There's a few of them in there. I have put claim on one of them, but it's just, you look at it and there's just so present in the gym, no smoking. And it's like, when's the last time someone just lit up a cig in a game? It's to be reminded of that, it speaks to the different era that this gym house, such great games. Coach Traeg's, obviously.
That's why I was wondering, some of the, you've got the Hall of Fame, and some of the pictures are a little rougher than others.
Mm.
But the individuals were there. Billy's dad, Jim McCauley.
Oh.
Okay. Traeg's certainly was one. Tom Giacomini was one. I mean, some of these fellows that have been fundamental in Gene Portugal.
Oh.
In Les Westfall, and some, boy, do I sound ancient. Some of these folks that were part of it, I would think a new facility, there's an opportunity there. Okay, you can sell the naming to somebody, or you can recognize some of the people that have made the school what the school is.
Yeah.
Have you guys gotten to that point yet to try...
I love where your mind's
this or do that.
Yeah, I love where your mind's going with that. Our administration building, the new one, is named after Dr. Portugal, which I thought was just a great tip of the cap to a great man. In fact, Father Cloney from St. Bernard's, him and
Mike?
I spoke a couple a couple, maybe a month ago, and he was talking about how, you know, Dr. Portugal and his family had, their house used to be on campus, and they used to sit on the porch and shoot ducks, and he was telling me these incredible stories that just show that just the community of College of the Redwoods and how important it is. And I think that lineage, in my hopes, will continue. And you know, when you bring in a modern new building and you build it, you don't want it to feel sterile. Like my commitment is to try to bring the character from the old building and put that into the new building, because that creates a home court advantage. If you're in some sterile box and some visiting team comes in, there's no advantage.
But anywhere USA.
Totally. But when you walk into our gym now, you can see the players look around and like, man, this is historical. This feels like a real craftsman type of experience here, and I think we're in for it. you know.
Now on the flip side, the field house kind of looks like dusty musty.
It does.
Mean, really was never part of, other than the floor. I understand that there's the story with the floor, but the facility itself, really, there hasn't been a lot of TLC on that.
No, you know, I think it lost its way at some point, and I think that we have much more refined plans on how to utilize the new field house, which will have turf inside of it. I think it's going to be more accessible to our community as well as our gym and the community field. We really want to allow our community an opportunity to use these facilities,
so like
and take
an
advantage
indoor soccer
of them.
Field kind of thing.
Yeah, and our football players can practice, and soccer teams can practice. You know, if there's inclement weather outside, there's more versatility.
Come on, dude.
If. It's been a rough winter.
It's been a normal winter.
Maybe you're right. You're just a little bit older than me. You have more experience.
Thanks for the grace there. Just a little. Yeah. But you look at some. I'm sure everybody has been asking, are you going to bring back the pool? Well, you remember Dave Banducci, right?
Oh, I do. What a legend.
Okay. Diving. He was the diving coach.
Yeah, he won a championship swimming.
Yeah. I mean, there's some cool stuff but finances is the reality check. So
well,
how do you balance those things off? I mean, you can't sports auction your way to a swimming pool or a swimming
pool. No, I agree. There's always going to be financial challenges. Obviously, the budget that the state released is one that all community colleges have to contend with. To your point on the pool, our pool now serves as a really interesting breeding ground for a biology class. I think if the biology class took a field trip in there, they'd probably find something real novel. You know,
but they would never find the leak.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Winston was on the Redwood Swim Club, and the leak in the pool and
scoreboard up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history with that stuff.
Yeah,
you mentioned Eureka High's gym, Jay Willard gym, and the pool that was there.
Oh,
you know, and there was a lot of angst and support for the swim team.
Sure.
I'm not going to mention Dave Tyson's name because he still thinks he should be up on a scoreboard somewhere with a record. So we'll just ignore him. But there's history of success in a lot of these various sports that may or may not be financially practical anymore, but you don't want to forget, or you don't want to lose those things either.
Well, to get back to the finances, I'll say quickly, one of my projects that Bob gave me this year, Bob Brown, who's
your boss, yeah,
my boss, an incredible human being, just love working for him. One of my projects was to go back through the history of our department, find all the champions, and now we have banners all through the gymnasium of all the previous championship teams. And I think people come into the gym now and they're like, oh wow, like there's probably been a little more success here than we realize once you see it all visually.
Yes.
Right? And from the state championships in the late 60s, that crazy run we had in every sport in the 70s.
Yeah, it was a stud factory.
It really was. And up to now.
With all local kids.
All local kids.
That's the thing that is, I think, most stunning for me, is that this was us. This wasn't imports. This wasn't bringing kids up from L.A. that can leap through the roof or blow through the wall. This was us.
These are kids who were developed in our community by coaches of our community.
Yeah.
The Bob Bonamanys of the world, right?
Yeah.
Like all of these just institutional contributors to local sports. To speak on the budget very quickly, one of the reasons why the field house and the gym have taken such high priority in getting built is because the state realized that they were built on a fault. So they're,
the entire campus is a fault. What are there, three or four of them there?
I believe so. But the
so this is a safety issue.
The gym in particular, there's some liability there that they want to shore up.
Gee. KINS, news and information time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Biggio. You like the area?
I love the area. I never in a million years thought I would be back once I left. I left as an 18-year-old. And then
chase the neon, baby.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, and that adds a certain type of empathy towards kids who that we recruit in the area, and they say, you know what, Biz, I got to get out. And I tell them, you know what, I hear you. That's exactly what I did, you know.
Go so do,
Yeah, you got to do your thing. We're just simply trying to provide a very viable option to have a very holistic experience in your community and something that, you know, we feel could set you up for on a different trajectory and a trajectory that I at least want you to consider. But I love this area. I can't believe how happy I am to be back and to be contributing to its health and sports and you know, developing young people.
Not that I would ever suggest that you do this, but it's kind of like you're a cheerleader. I don't want to see you in a skirt. I mean, just, the imagery is just abhorrent.
You're not alone.
Yeah, that's a long line. But the concept of having people who are locals as the cheerleaders in positions of influence is kind of what sets us apart, I think. You know, now they talk about us being insulated, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't know where we came from, how do you know where we're headed?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I find myself, as I get older, being much more interested in our history and understanding there's like more context to the current work that we do now when you're more connected to the history of it.
Do you walk graveyards?
No.
Cemeteries?
Oh, do I walk them?
Yeah.
Yeah. My family, much of my family is buried near where I live. In the one on the south part of town. I'm blanking on the name right now.
There's only two.
Across
the Catholic cemetery and then the other one.
Yeah, the Catholic cemetery. And we frequent there.
Just kind of walk and see names.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised how many names you still recognize.
Oh. Yeah, and the fear is these guys don't. And you know, I think that's part of what our obligation is not to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And not to, you know, it's like when they talk about humble babying pristine. Look at the pictures, guys. There's nothing that hasn't been torn up and dug up in Humble Bay.
Sure.
You cannot use that word. Everything from the old railroads to the fact it was a log pond.
Right.
Pretty much. All the mills. I just realized and found out that there was, I think it may have been the largest mill on Humble Bay. It was massive. Was down Commercial and First and kind of went around. It was like three or four stories up. It had a dance hall across the street. It was a huge thing. And other than this one book, it was part of the family history of Roger Rodoni.
Mm.
I've never seen any reference to it.
I mean, that's
it the burned first, down like in the teens.
That's the first I've heard of it. One of my coaching mentors and dear friend, an individual named Eric Vollmers, who coached at Arcade High for a long time.
The tours in Old Town.
Those Old Town, those are incredible. And he, in fact, in the SF Gate this weekend, there was an article about a community called Falk, F-A-L-K.
Up Elk River.
Yeah, that's the first I'd ever heard of it.
Oh, you were just too insulated. Oh, there's, after the show, I've got a story for you about Falk, and it ties into Sequoia Park.
Wow.
Yeah. And Carson and Dolbear. And I mean,
it's just fascinating. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. So why aren't you teaching local history out there too?
Well, I do it in a, you know, off the books, so to speak, you know, especially sports history. I've done the archiving of all the records at CR and men's basketball. And now we have players who are really populating the record books and showing them the context that people have come before them.
We don't want to mention Matt Nielsen at all.
Oh, he's in there.
Oh, crap.
Oh, he is in there.
Break out the whiteout, baby.
Yeah, he's present in there.
Tim Eisen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned Barnes earlier.
Yeah, Zach.
Yep.
Yeah. But I didn't play Little League with him. I played Little League with Tim. cool stuff. If anybody wants to jump into that or look at it, is it public or are you still kind of just working and compiling?
It's on our men's basketball website.
If you go to
College of the Redwoods men's basketball, the archives, all the records, they're there and they are up to date to this moment.
You have pictures?
Not yet.
Good. See everybody tomorrow.